Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Had a whole bunch of people send me a story yesterday about the corner crossing case out of Wyoming. And this case has been all over the news for a while. And you'll recall it arose because there's property out in Wyoming and many places where the feds control a lot of property. And then there's privately owned property mixed in out there. And a lot of this stuff was gridded. Imagine a checkerboard for just a simple explanation. Such that some of the squares are fed and some of the squares are privately owned. And there are examples where there's four squares dividing a larger square. And the corners that are diagonal from each other are owned by one entity, like private property. And the other squares are, say, public. They can be used by the public because they're federal, etc. And so the situation is there are people who will then go from public property to the corner and cross at the corner into the other piece of public property. And it's been argued by some that, of course, if you look at the exact point, and let's assume there's no fences, no nothing, but everyone knows where the lines are. For you to cross over the geometric point at the center of that intersection, by necessity, you must pass through the corners of the property that are the other two at that intersection. And so it's called corner crossing. And so we've had a situation out west where these hunters were prosecuted for trespassing because they had corner crossed. And in their situation, they brought a ladder because a private landowner had built fences at that intersection so that the only way to get over the intersection was to do so by ladder. So they brought a ladder and they climbed over the ladder and then they went on their way. And so the argument that the landowner made was, well, you know, when you put the ladder there, while the ladder was there, and then while you were on the ladder, those things were in the space above the corners of my property. And technically, they had to be. So they were prosecuted for trespassing in the most famous recent case, and a jury found them not guilty. So the private landowner then sued the hunters and said, okay, I'm going to sue you for trespassing. And I've mentioned before that a lot of laws, including trespassing in most states, there's a criminal aspect and a civil aspect, which means you can be prosecuted criminally or you can be sued or, believe it or not, both. So that happens a lot, but here's the deal. So the lawsuit got filed, and now there's been some misreporting on this because a judge ruled recently in favor of the corner crossing hunters, but he did not dismiss the case in its entirety, but he dismissed the bulk of it, and he dismissed the bulk that had to do with the corner crossing. So this is from wyofile.com. Angus Turmer wrote it. Judge rules in favor of corner crossing hunters. A federal judge ruled Friday that four Missouri hunters did not trespass when they corner crossed and passed through the airspace above a private owner's Elk Mountain Ranch. The chief U.S. district judge granted the hunters' request to dismiss most of the lawsuit. They claimed the men trespassed and caused $7 million in damages. The men corner crossed in 2020 and 2021 to hunt public land and meshed in this man's 22,000-acre ranch. Now, keep in mind that $7 million was just a fantasy. And I'll talk a little bit more later on about how damages work and why I believe that the judge ruled this way. Corner crossing, of course, involves stepping from one piece of public land to another at the common corner with two pieces of private property, which are arranged in a checkerboard pattern. Corner crossing avoids setting foot on private land, but you do pass over the private land. The ruling has implications for public access to 8.3 million acres of corner-locked public land in the U.S. Now, the hunters, through their attorneys, had argued that there was a federal statute from 1885 called the Unlawful Enclosures Act, that's with an I, often referred to as the UIA, the Unlawful Enclosures Act, prevents the private landowner from obstructing access across the corner. And one of the things they're pointing out is that the private landowner had apparently fenced to that corner and fenced to that corner, and because the fences were placed in such a way that if you walked up and wanted to corner cross, you'd had to go up and over something that was placed on private property. And the question is he allowed to do that? And so I know a lot of people will weigh in on this and say, I don't think he ought to be. But the real question, and again, this is what I do on this channel, is talk about the legal stuff. And so the question is, what does the law say? And so that UIA of 1885 actually has some interesting language, but it appears to be a little unclear. And I'll get to that. So the Hunter's attorney said, this is a long overdue and singularly great outcome for the entire American public and anybody who enjoys public lands. But he said he and his colleagues do fully expect an appeal. The judge's ruling did not address the disputed allegation that one hunter set foot on ranch property at a spot well removed from the corners, a digital waypoint that the man set in 2020 on a hunting app is located on the private property. And so the ranch owner says that's evidence that the guy came on a trespass. However, the hunters say, no, you can actually put waypoints into a GPS or hunting app by just going in and putting in a waypoint. And so I've got a very, very nice handheld GPS. And I know that if I want to go find a spot, I can go into the program and put a waypoint in there if I know the coordinates. And then I can turn the thing on later and say, okay, take me to that spot. And it'll tell me which way to go. So the man says, along with his lawyer, that waypoint 6 could have been made from anywhere, and its location on the map proved nothing. But the judge says a genuine dispute of material fact exists to preclude summary judgment concerning the alleged waypoint 6 trespassing. And that's the judge writing in a 32-page opinion. Any damages the landowner would claim for the alleged transgression would be limited to nominal damages. And certainly not $7.75 million, the judge wrote. The judge has scheduled a trial in June on simply the issue of Waypoint 6 and whether or not this man trespassed, if so, what the harm was. So the attorney for the hunter says, we do not know what will come of the remaining issues of material fact referring to Waypoint 6. But he says, for now, all my clients are very happy. Wyoming backcountry hunters and anglers launched a fundraising campaign in 2021 to ensure the hunters could have their day in court, and the organization now is saying it's a great ruling. Today was a win for the people, both in Wyoming and across the country, says the president and CEO. The court's ruling confirms that it was legal for the Missouri Four to step from public land to public land over a shared public-private corner. I'm simply laughing at the Missouri Four. It sounds like save the Missouri Four. Coupled with recent legislation passed by the Wyoming legislature, we are happy that common sense and rule of law prevailed. Backcountry hunters and anglers applaud the court's careful balancing of access to public land and respect of private property rights. We look forward to finding more solutions to access together. The judge observed that with respect to the corner crossing issue, there is no evidence that the hunters made physical contact with the landowner's private land or caused any damage to his property. The judge also agreed that the man does in fact own the property and the space above it, and he's entitled to use it as he sees fit, but of course he can also keep other people from using it as he sees fit as well. But even property rights come with limitations and restrictions, the judge wrote. History, federal case law, federal statutory law, and recent Wyoming legislation demonstrate that corner crossing in the manner done by defendants in this case is just such a restriction on plaintiffs' property rights. Defendants, in common with other persons, have the right to the benefit of the public domain, which necessarily requires some limitation on the adjoining private landowner's right of exclusion within the checkerboard pattern of land ownership. The judge summarized and analyzed relevant court precedent to conclude that corner crossing on foot in the checkerboard pattern of land ownership without physically contacting private land and without causing damage does not constitute an unlawful trespass. Now, here's another point. When the hunters grabbed two fence posts that were chained together at the corner they encountered and swung around them to step from public land to public land, they were protected by the UIA, which prevents landowners from blocking access to public land. So here, there's an allegation that at the corner of these two pieces of private property, there were fence posts and they were chained together. And so now the question is, doesn't that chain somehow interfere with the public land if it connects these two fence posts? And so that would be a problem. And so now we're getting to the UIA. And so in the 1885 Act, the UIA, titled Obstruction of Settlement on or Transit Over Public Lands, it prohibits a landowner from blocking any person from peaceably entering upon or establishing a settlement or residence of any tract of land. No person shall prevent or obstruct free passage or transit over or through the public lands. So they're saying that technically, the judge is saying, technically, connecting those two fence posts right there, that's a violation of that law. So it appears now that both sides can make an argument that that's happening. But I've mentioned before, and this is extremely important for people to remember, that at law, if you've got a cause of action against somebody, somebody has wronged you, okay? You need two things to prevail in court. One is liability and one is damages. And both of those need to be numbers other than zero, okay? And positive numbers. So in other words, if you've got a mountain of damages, but no one's liable for it, well, mountain times zero equals zero. If you've got a huge amount of liability, but no damages, well, huge times zero equals zero. And so imagine that those two things are multiplied together to get you your result. So let's go back to the original hypothetical here. And that is the corners, middle, checkerboard, square, four squares, right? Four squares. It's a game we also played in elementary school called Four Square. But four squares with the center intersection. Somebody comes along and steps over your property and keeps walking. Let's assume there's no fences, no posts, but they know they did it. They know they did it. They stepped over your property and they keep walking. Is the liability there? For the sake of argument, say yes. What are your damages? What are the damages to the person who owns the private property that would theoretically come together at that point with the other two corners? What are your damages? And the judge said, they're de minimis. They're non-existent. What are your damages? And so courts are not there just to entertain people who want to litigate for the fun of it. Courts are there for serious issues. And how serious is your issue if you go, hey, these people are liable to me for almost nothing? Now, of course, the man who filed the lawsuit, his lawsuit says that it's $7 million in damages. And you go, okay, how do you get $7 million out of some people going over that corner? How do you get $7 million? And so he apparently tried to spin that by saying, well, if people are allowed to do that, it's going to degrade the value of my property because now suddenly, instead of having property that is kind of out here and desolate, there's going to be people tramping around, traipsing around, jumping over the corners of my property all over the place, and it kind of somehow does something. Except, what does it do? And by the way, according to that law of 1885, it looks like they're allowed to do that since at least 1885. It also looks like Wyoming's passed some laws addressing this as well. So there's probably a lot more to come here. But at the very least, you're going to see a trial on that Waypoint 6. How'd that waypoint get put into the app, and did somebody physically go and stand on the property and enter it, or did they enter it someplace else? And then I suspect you'll see an appeal as well. But right now, looking at this and everything else about it, I suspect that the case will not go much further than this, other than if it goes up on appeal, I believe it'll get affirmed, meaning that the Court of Appeals will sustain this ruling. And I suspect that what they're going to do is they're going to look at it and go, okay, let's assume that there's a massive amount of liability here. Massive amount of liability. There's no damages. There's no damages. And so we've seen cases before where a court will say, if you've got liability, you can award a minimum amount of damages to prove a point. But those are usually things like civil rights cases and stuff where it's very, very hard to quantify and monetize what your damages are in a civil rights case. So let's suppose that the government did something, restricted your civil rights one afternoon. And I'm not going to get into details here. I'm simply saying something happened one afternoon and your civil rights were violated, but you weren't thrown in jail, you weren't beat up. And you go into court as a matter of principle, and I think a federal court should declare what they did was wrong. And if it's a civil case, you can ask a jury, send a message. And juries occasionally would come back with a message of $1, $10, $100. And is it really worth $1 or $100 to go to court on a federal case? Well, on a matter of principle, it might be. But then the question is this a matter of principle on the corner crossing? And it might be a matter of principle to people who own millions of acres out west, but more people are going to look at this and go, you know something, this isn't even a matter of principle. This is trivial. It's trivial. So, you know, there you go. So I know that there's still going to be a lot of people who are unhappy with all of this, but as of right now, it appears that at least in Wyoming, if you corner cross and can do it in such a way that it is de minimis, your interaction with the private property you're crossing, you'll probably be okay. But keep in mind that somebody could still sue you and prosecute you. But these guys found not guilty and case dismissed as to the corner crossing allegations. So it's never fun to have to litigate stuff. And I salute these guys for putting up the good fight because they fought this both in the criminal side and the civil side. And they appear to have prevailed. And like I said, the Waypoint 6 issue is a separate matter altogether because the guy is saying, hey, look, there's evidence that this guy actually came onto my property and was hunting. And if that bears out to be the case, well, there's a different matter altogether, but it's not related to the corner crossing issue itself. So judge rules in favor of corner crossing hunters. Angus Turmer wrote that for wyofile.com. And Bob, John, Carl, JD, Jeffrey, Lucas, Jamie, Andy, Mike, and Warren all sent it. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments? Put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law.
Positive anything is better than negative nothing.